I'm Leonard Lopate. This is WNYC 93.9 AM 820. We're online at WNYC.org. 2 years ago, in October of 2002, Angelina Atyam came on the show to talk about her daughter Charlotte, who had been kidnapped in Uganda by the Lord's Resistance Army in 1996 when she was just 14 years old. Charlotte had been forced into slavery, and Mrs. Atyam spent the next 8 years advocating for her daughter's release. And just a few months ago, Charlotte managed to escape. I'm very happy to welcome, as part of our underreported feature on the Leonard Lopate Show, Angelina Atyam back today to talk about her painful separation and long-anticipated reunion. She is joined by Laurie Henninger, Senior Coordinator of Children and Adolescents at the Women's Commission for Refugee Women and Children. Welcome, both of you, to my show. Angelina, can you hear us well?
Yes, I could hear you very well.
I'm pleased that you were able to come back on the show. When did you find out that your daughter had been kidnapped?
It was on the 10th of October, 1996. Early in the morning, and I was still in bed when somebody came and knocked at my window, calling me, "Angelina, Angelina, the rebels have taken all the girls from St. Mary's College, Aboke."
All the girls had been taken? All 130 of them?
They had taken 139 girls. And the deputy headmistress of the school, an Italian nun, Sister Rachele Faisera, with one teacher, followed the rebels. And she pleaded for the release of the children. And she was given 109 girls. 30 girls were retained, my own daughter Charlotte inclusive. And it is only in July on the 20th that she managed to escape, 8 years, almost 8 years in captivity.
Now, 8 years ago, had you considered the Lord's Resistance Army to be a threat? Were you living in an area that was close to where the rebels were operating?
In 1998, they were not very close to my village. They were not close to my place. So they were a little bit away from me, mm-hmm. near the Sudan border by then. But that night was a surprise attack, and really that is what the beginning of my pain, and for the last 8 years, that is what the nightmare I've been going through.
Where did they take Charlotte?
They took her to Sudan.
Mm-hmm. And is that where she stayed during the years of her captivity?
Yes, but she returned to Uganda at the beginning of Operation Iron Fist about 2 years ago, when the government of Uganda launched a military attack on the LRA bases in southern Sudan, and they were brought into Uganda. And the other children were taken back, but she stayed still being held captive by the rebels until July the 20th this year, she managed to escape.
Now, we've been hearing a lot about the Sudanese government's involvement in the tragedies in Darfur. Are they allowing this rebel army to stay in their country?
Currently, most of the LRA are now in Uganda. Mm-hmm. But all these years, I know that my daughter was in Sudan, and that is where she was being held hostage.
Has kidnapping always been a part of the strategy of the Lord's Resistance Army?
Exactly. They recruit through abduction. That is forceful conscription. And that is their only method of recruitment, because that is not the people's war. People don't understand why they are fighting, and ordinary people have refused to join them. And their only method is forceful conscription through abduction.
How old are the boys and girls they tend to kidnap?
It can be any age, but the average age could be 10 to 12, 15.
And do they kidnap the boys and girls for different purposes?
All the children taken are militarily trained, are rudimentarily trained as military, but as army. But then later they are regrouped, and girls, of course, as usual, suffer more. They are given to commanders as sexual slaves, as their laborers, as you know, they do everything for the commanders. As the beast of burden to carry all these military hardware all the way wherever they are, they move.
And then they indoctrinate the boys to turn them into soldiers.
Yes, the boys also do fighting, but the girls also do fight in a surprise attack. All of them are supposed to handle the guns.
How are they convinced that they should engage in this kind of military activity? What would happen if they refused?
Refusal would mean death. They only, it is not an empty threat. They actually practically implement it. A child who gets very tired from carrying heavy luggage or walking for long distances or is very tired because he has not had any food is not allowed to complain. And saying the word tired, wanting a rest for the rebels means you are asking for death. If you want to rest, then you rest eternally. So they kill you.
How do they justify these sorts of things to the people they hope will support them?
The people who support these rebel activities may be there. I cannot really say that. But I know that they've been given guns. Where they got the guns, whoever really got convinced up to the extent of supplying them with guns and resources, and those were very evil men.
Now, as a mother, you would be very close to your daughter at this age. How did you cope? Did you have any idea of what Charlotte might be going through?
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
How did you cope at the time? Were you aware of, did you learn anything about
her? Hello?
Oh, I guess we're going to have to fix this connection here. Can you hear me, Angelina? Why don't we move on to Lori, to Lori Henninger, who is here. She's the Senior Coordinator of Children and Adolescents at the Women's Commission for Refugee Women and Children. Lori, have the tactics of the Lord's Resistance Army been effective?
I think... can you say a little more about that? Effective in what way?
Well, in other words, do the kids who they have kidnapped become convinced that their leader Joseph Kony is an actual messenger of God?
I would I can't say definitively, but I would say that the kids that we know about that have escaped, that have been captured, are absolutely unconvinced. All they want to do is get back to being kids and get back to their sort of normal lives.
But aren't some of them afraid that if they escape that they will be rejected by their families and their communities, especially the girls who have borne children?
I would imagine that there is some of that fear, but the people of northern Uganda are working very diligently to accept back into communities kids that have been abducted, because their feeling is that this was not a choice of the children, that this was something inflicted upon them.
And what is Joseph Kony's stated goal here? Does he really hope to conquer Uganda and become its dictator?
I think it's very hard to know. I think that is his ultimate goal. His stated goals are that he would like to have a government in Uganda based on the Ten Commandments, which is completely dichotomous to the situation that he's setting up.
Because he's breaking pretty much all of those commandments.
Almost every one.
Like thou shalt not kill. And
yes. And he's
honor their father and mother, et cetera, et cetera.
And we're talking about some very fundamental moral principles that he is breaking every day. The other thing that he's looking for, as he says, is a purified Acholi race, because the people that he is, he comes from the Acholi, and he is victimizing the Acholi.
Now, Angelina, I know you're back.
Yes.
Were you able to learn anything about Charlotte's situation while she was away? Were you even sure that she was alive?
The children who managed to come back from captivity, who escaped from the LRA, tell our stories.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter was abducted from this school, St. Mary's College, Aboke, and everybody in captivity there seems to know something about these Aboke girls, because this is the group of girls that the rebels know. Somebody is talking about them. Somebody is asking for their release. Many people are calling upon them to release the girls. But as concerned parents, we are actually not advocating for our own children only. We are advocating for all the children taken captive. For the Aboke girls, when the girls were taken, His Holiness, the Pope spoke out and pleaded with the rebels to set the children free, but the response of the LRA was that let the Pope come and get the girls himself. Anybody who wants these girls will have to fight for them. And so they were extraordinarily, kept under key and lock almost. They were guarded day and night. And so it was very easy to at least learn something, because they were like a special group of children being kept extraordinarily under tight security.
And that was because you were applying so much pressure in your campaign to have all of the girls freed. We'll take a little break here. When we come back, I want to know whether you had a lot of allies in this. Were there other people who were also working to have them free, or is this kind of a one-woman campaign? You are the most famous person who fought for this, and you must feel just wonderful that some of the things that you were fighting for have come true. I'm talking to Angelina Atyam, who is in Uganda, whose daughter was kidnapped by the Lord's Resistance Army and kept for 8 years in captivity, escaped just this year. Also, Laurie Henninger, Senior Coordinator of Children and Adolescents, for Children and Adolescents at the Women's Commission for Refugee Women and Children. Stay with us here on WNYC. This is one of our underreported shows. I'm Leonard Lope. This is WNYC 93.9 AM 820. We're online at WNYC.org. And today, as part of our weekly underreported feature, I am speaking with Angelina Atyam. Her daughter, Charlotte, was kidnapped by the Lord's Resistance Army in Uganda 8 years ago and just recently escaped. This practice is common in Uganda. Charlotte was one of an estimated 20,000 children kidnapped by the LRA over the past years. And also here is Laurie Henninger, Senior Coordinator of Children and Adolescents at the Women's Commission for Refugee Women and Children. So Charlotte, I assume, did everything to get away during that time, but she was forced to marry an older rebel, wasn't she, Angelina? Have we lost Angelina again? Well, okay, we'll try to make that connection. It's always rough when you do these long-distance calls, and we are speaking to Angelina Atyam in Kampala, and we've had some problems with the line there. I asked you about Sudan before. I was interested in how much complicity Sudan has had in this. Why would they why would the Sudanese government, which is so much concerned with creating an Islamic republic, be supporting a group that claims to be the most born-again religious Christian group in the world.
Ultimately complicated politics, right? Nothing is simple. There have been historic differences between Khartoum and Kampala, between the government in Sudan and the government in Uganda. And because of those differences, the government in Khartoum made it possible for the Lord's Resistance Army to establish bases in southern Sudan. That has changed with Operation Iron Fist 1 and 2, mm-hmm.
Which the Ugandan government has instituted.
Now, yes.
Operation Iron Fist seems to me to be a complicated situation because the Ugandan government is going after these children who were kidnapped against their will, but treating them as though they are a committed rebel army.
That's very insightful, and that's absolutely correct. When the government of Uganda reports that it's killing rebels, it's killing children. It's killing under 18s, children under 18, girls and boys, because 80% of the Lord's Resistance Army at this point is children.
Angelina, you're back, I understand.
Yes.
When you went to the Ugandan government, did they understand that that was the situation, that the children, that the people they were fighting as rebels were children, and that your daughter was not there because she wanted to be there?
Yes, when the abduction of the took place, the government was there, and we were very open. We went to them to tell them that the rebels have taken the children. Even government officials went to the scene. They knew the rebels were taking children, and they were taken against their will, and we all failed them. As parents, we didn't protect them. As the government, they were not protected, and so the government turns around to use military means on them. For me, as a parent, I cannot consent to that. It would amount to signing a death warrant for my child. And my child is not one child, it's not Charlotte. My child is all those abducted children. I see my child in each of them, that great multitude, and whom we have failed to protect. And I think military option can never be supported by the parents who have lost children.
Angelina, this is Lori Henninger. I want to say hello to you.
Hello.
How are you?
Fine, thank you.
I'm glad. I just want to back you up on this by saying that we at the Women's Commission for Refugee Women and Children absolutely do not support military intervention by the government of Uganda because that is about killing children. And I've heard you say this before where you talk about it's the responsibility of the parents, and I appreciate that. But I also want you to know that we all know that it's the responsibility of Joseph Kony in this situation. You know, so I can imagine being a parent how strongly you feel about this, and I commend you.
Angelina, Charlotte was forced to marry an older rebel, and she had two of his children. Has she talked about that marriage at all?
Well, I really hate to hear the word marriage, because marriage, I think, I don't know. Well, how do we define marriage?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, she was forcibly given to this man against her will. She was enslaved, of course, sexually. That the result is these two kids now living with me. And that is it. That is a gross child's rights abuse. And I think that is actually, it's a very serious crime against humanity.
Do most of
because
the...
it is not only Charlotte, there are many children who have gone through similar things, yeah.
So most of the girls wind up having children while they're held in captivity.
Hello?
How are those children treated? Are they indoctrinated with the rebel ideology as well?
Hello.
Okay, we'll this is difficult, but we will reestablish that line. She's in Kampala, isn't she?
As far as I know, yes.
So
she may have actually gone back to her home.
Lori, what do you know about this? How are the children of these forced relationships treated?
Within the movement, they're treated like any other children. The boys would be trained to be fighters, and the girls then, when they are deemed, when it's deemed appropriate, they would be given to commanders or others as, you know, the girls themselves don't want to be called wives. Fundamentally, they are slaves. So they would be given as slaves.
Now, eventually, Angelina met with some rebel leaders. I'll ask her how she was able to arrange that. But it was interesting. They offered to free Charlotte if she would just be quiet, stop campaigning so loudly. And they were not willing to free the other girls. And she had to make a very important decision. Did she consult with anybody else? Do you know?
I don't know. It was really a somebody's termed it a Sophie's choice, where the LRA commanders told her that if she stopped campaigning to get all the children released, that they would give her her daughter back. And as a mother, I just can't imagine having to make that kind of choice. It really, I think, talks about the level of resilience and strength within Angelina. But I would say that that's wider. Having just come back from northern Uganda, I think it would be wrong to look at the people in the situation, as awful as it is, solely as victims.
Angelina, you're back. I'm pleased to have you back. So when you were offered that choice, what was the to be quiet and have your daughter released, or keep on speaking out against the abductions and not have her released? What was the reaction of other people you knew? What was your husband's idea about this?
Yeah, he was, of course, very angry. But in the long run, we came to realize that it was better. So I regret even up to now. Even Charlotte herself, I shared that with her when she came. And she said even if the rebels had agreed to release, they wouldn't have released her, because they know they wouldn't release any Aboke girls. And from that time up to now, not a single girl has been released.
How did she escape? So, was that something she'd been planning for a long time?
She had been planning, but of late she was given, from May this year, she was given 5 guards. And every step she made was, every time they were asking her, where are you going, where are you going? She was always being watched 24 hours. Even in the night when she dreams, and maybe she talks in her dream, they wake her up and say, to whom were you talking? I mean, but that morning was the 20th of July this year, was a miracle. I believe God did that miracle for us, because she said she got up on the 19th in the night, and she just had a voice telling her, you will go back to your people. But then that night she just couldn't believe it. She was so surprised. But because she talked in her dream, so the rebels came and they were questioning her in the night. To whom were you speaking? Who was speaking to you? And they went, you know, searching the whole area, trying to look for somebody she was talking to. But then in the morning, she just said a very short prayer. She said, Lord God, help me to get home. And please let nobody ask me any question. And that morning, she was not given any guard. She walked. And as the group was moving out to another destination,
she had her daughter with her. That must have complicated things. How old was her daughter?
You people, why are you interrupting my phone? You're an intruder.
We're having problems on the line again. Did you hear that last question? She had her daughter with her. I guess we will try to make that connection once again. I don't know what the telephone system is like in Uganda. You've been to Uganda, Laurie.
I can tell you that we make calls on a fairly regular basis, and this is very typical of the communications situation, where we get just a couple minutes of talk time and then the phone's cut out.
Uh-huh.
Angelina did escape with one of her children. Her other child was lost in a raid. I believe it was a month or so, or a couple months before that.
A son who was a little older.
Exactly. And they found her son, and the three of them were reunited with Angelina, which is the most extraordinary story.
Is this typical? What happens if girls try to escape, like Charlotte did, and they're caught? Are they killed?
They could be killed, yes. They could be returned to their commanders. It depends.
I understand that there are people who are called night dwellers in Uganda. What are they?
We actually call them night commuters. They are kids that live in internally displaced persons camps or in villages who travel between 1 and 12 between 1 and 12 kilometers every day to go to a night commuter center, and there are a number of night commuter centers in the north. We've estimated that there are about 50,000 of these children who are traveling nightly because they're afraid that if they stay in their homes that they will be abducted by the LRA. And we saw kids, little bitty kids, 5 years old up through grown teenagers, and some women who commute every day. They have very little to eat. They carry their bedrolls or their sleeping equipment, whatever they have with them, and they sleep mostly out in the open, in the dirt, and then they get up the next day, go home, get cleaned up, and come back to school. It's the resilience is extraordinary.
Now, where, Angelina, you're back, where are you living now? Are you in the city, or are you back in your hometown?
I'm back in my hometown in Lira, in northern Uganda.
How did you learn that Charlotte had escaped? How long after she escaped did you hear from her?
She walked for 6 hours. Until she came and she met some people from the village, and they were cultivating the land, and so she asked for help, and they accompanied her and took her to the local authorities in the area. That was in Pade district, a newly created new district on Sudan border, and she was received very warmly there and taken to the army barracks. But where the person who received her happened to be a member of the Concerned Parents Association, yet it was also a security personnel. So immediately he learned that she was my daughter. He rang to Lira. He informed me on telephone, and we couldn't believe. It was like a dream. And yet, that was that blessing for us, a special day for us.
But I imagine it's been rather difficult for Charlotte to talk about some of those experiences. People who've been through traumatic experiences like this tend to keep it to themselves. Has she been able to share what she went through with you?
Yes, quite a lot. Maybe not all, because in 8 years, you cannot talk about what happened in 8 years within a very short period. Maybe she will. But we talk a lot. She's very open. On the 10th of October this year, we have the commemoration for abduction, and she gave a testimony, and she was so open, and everybody cried because she gave that testimony to over 3,000 people had gathered to pray. And now, she talks about it.
Now, we hear about kidnappings in Iraq in this country every day, but it's happening at a much faster rate in Uganda. Does that upset you, Angelina, that there's so little attention being paid to this terrible humanitarian issue in other parts of the world?
For me, children everywhere are children. Our motto as concerned parents, every child is my child. I feel for that child in Iraq or that child in Darfur, any child in the world. that is being affected, because I've gone through it myself. So every child is my child. I would love to see a situation where children are protected. Children are not mistreated the way they are being mistreated all over the world. I feel for all the children, and that is because I know what it means to miss a child and to have a child affected.
I would totally commend Angelina for her broad brush of the need for the identification of child rights and child protection. The war in Uganda has gone on for 18 years. Jan Egeland, who is the Undersecretary General for Human Affairs at the UN, has called it the worst crisis for children in the world. And I think it is a very, very underrepresented situation. The media does, and I really am very grateful to you for putting this on your program. In general, the media doesn't cover it. It's why that is, in some ways, is a mystery. But there are a couple of recommendations I'd like to make, if that's okay. We at the Women's Commission feel that there should be a real push on the government of the United States, because they're such a large donor to the government of Uganda, to help motivate President Museveni to work for a peaceful solution to the conflict. We also think that there should be an urging of Congress to pass the Widows and Orphans Act of 2003. That legislation would establish a special immigrant visa for women and children overseas who are at risk because of their age or gender. It's a bill that's really crucial to the lives of women and children, particularly from northern Uganda.
We have to leave it there, unfortunately, with great hopes that the situation finally ends, because it is a major humanitarian crisis. My great thanks to Angelina Atyam for talking with us again on the show, and my apologies to all because of the problems we have with the telephone connections. Laurie Henninger is Senior Coordinator for Children and Adolescents at the Women's Commission for Refugee Women and Children. My great thanks to her as well.